Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Long has it been since the cathedral has seen a gathering of this kind.
We're sorry we were so grumpy. Doran and I clearly felt a little bit lost.
Doran's a rebel.
You had me on my toes, sorry.
And we haven't killed any orcs!
Hey, tree!
What's a few minutes with Doran and giants? He's got it.
We've been waiting for you!
You have nothing to apologize for, Doran.
Did he crop dust us?
And so Doran goes into stealth mode.
What does Doran
stealth mode look like?
Stealth mode!
Yeah, I'm like ready to adventure.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is episode 65, Make Like a Tree.
MVP this week is Jake Wiseman for his kind words on Twitter. Thanks so much for being a part of what we do here, Jake.
Thanks, Jake. Ignorance Was Bliss is an interview-style podcast that seeks to find answers for the burning questions we have about the ways people act. Whether mundane or extreme, Kate finds the thread and pulls at it. She's got a background in mental health and criminal justice, and while that expertise can sometimes lead her into the macabre, she's mostly interested in shaving down the difference between us and them. Check out Ignorance Was Bliss wherever you get your podcasts. All right, should we do this thing?
Let's do it.
Woo! The sun dawns on Shadowtop Cathedral. You're tended by songbirds.
I'm feeling especially lovey today. What about you guys?
And I look towards Oren. And then I look towards Kraloth. And then I look towards Elmort, who's like curled up at the bottom of my bedroll.
Like a cat. What do you do? What's your morning look like the day after a crazy underground wedding?
We don't do the dishes. Huh? We run outside and play.
And Red runs outside.
Whippy!
Just Red runs outside the tent.
It's a really interesting bit of contrast too, because we've really, again, still got nothing to do but wait for Terlang to get back. And so it's this element of like, okay, yeah, this cool big event happened, and now we're settling back into limbo waiting for the next thing.
Right.
The whole wedding left Jack a little bit like his thoughts want to be elsewhere, and he's now feeling like, oh, I want to move, I want to work, I want to do something, and we're in this place where we can't do that.
Yeah.
And so he's maybe a little anxious, a little antsy, pacing around.
Maybe even we start like packing up a little bit, you know, like getting the idea that once what we need is here, we're ready to go.
Yeah, or sorting or resorting, making sure he's got every book in his library where he wants it and like ready to put it in the bag and nowhere, you know.
And I think that Kraloth notices this, and he walks over to Jack, who's preparing Amakir, and he says, "Hey, Jack, you plan on heading out soon?"
Well, No, I just feeling a little antsy, so I thought I'd make sure I knew where I was going to fit everything. I just, you know, wanted to something to do with my hands. Yeah, it'd been.
Are you not enjoying this here? I mean, this is beautiful forest, magical.
It's stunningly beautiful.
All the love and the magical creatures.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've never been someone to stay in one place too long, and you know, for better or worse, right? So it's, we've been here a couple of days, and it's just feeling like, I don't know, I feel like there's part of me that wishes I could just teleport myself anywhere else in the world I wanted to, you know, so just to, I miss Waterdeep, I guess.
Yeah.
And stuck here waiting for a treant, the notably slow moving plant for the wind to blow the right way to bring the trees here to hopefully get us another clue to help us along the way to, you know, the giants are out there still. And
yeah,
I'm with you on all this, buddy, Red says. He like sits up from tall grass like 2 feet away from you guys.
Oh,
I also want to get out of here.
Hey, Red.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm feeling too. I'm look, True Steven's all packed up and ready to go as well. I just want to get going.
It's so funny that you guys are saying all this, because literally this is what's going through my mind. And when you awake, Doran's not even in the Lehman's tiny hut anymore.
Mm. Oh, no.
There is stuff that is his that's all packed up and like ready to go, but he's not there.
Huh.
And what Doran is doing, he's retracing the same way that we came into the forest. He's walking back out. Not all the way, but retracing steps, thinking to himself, do we miss something? Should we have gone a different direction? Should we have left some sort of note, some sort of message?
He's just talking to himself.
This is internal thoughts. This is not talking out loud.
But you went alone? That's dangerous. There were like spiders and stuff.
Yeah.
Doran's a rebel.
But again, it's early morning. The sun is poking through. I'm really just kind of circling the Shadowtop Cathedral.
Yeah, because you traveled in from Nuanar's hold into the High Forest and ended up traveling like 3 days to get to Shadowtop.
So I'm not going 3 days out. I'm really just kind of going.
No, it's like a sea, like an interminable sea of trees from all directions.
But I am kind of following our steps back, thinking, did we miss something? Was there some sort of note or message we should have left? A mark on a tree or anything, you know?
When Doran gets back, maybe we should figure out what we're going to do next if Terlang doesn't appear. And
I don't know, you guys. I mean, we've been wandering the lands for, what, has it been a month already? And fighting monsters. And just, there's been so much death lately. I feel like my entire life has been all about death and fighting. And now here we have this beautiful opportunity to be around love and life and just all of this magic and beauty. I don't think I want it to end.
Yeah, it's just that it hurts, Kraloth, because I chose not that. I chose to go on this adventure. We chose to go fix the giant problem. And so sitting around here in somebody else's version of that is hard. So I'm feeling a little antsy and organizing my pack.
For me, my legs just don't stop wiggling, really. If I sit still too long, they just go back and forth and they start to ache. So really, I'm not the emotional ready to go, but I am definitely the physical ready to go.
Well, if you guys are both antsy, I don't even know where Doran is.
Where is Doran?
Yeah, where is he?
Doran, as you are traveling, as you are doing some scouting, which is not usually what Doran gets to do.
Yeah, no, not
really. But you're trying
your
hand at scouting around, looking for clues. What did I miss? You start to feel the ground shudder under your feet. Oh. Yeah, you're reminded of giant footsteps.
And I feel it too, eh?
Yeah, you feel it under your feet. It feels like something very, very large is moving in the forest.
Pick it up. Two, three, four. Pick it up.
And so Doran goes into stealth mode.
What does Doran
stealth mode?
Important though, I have a question. So Doran wakes up after post-wedding day.
Yeah.
He goes out on this walk.
Yeah.
Are you wearing your armor?
Yeah. I'm like ready to adventure. Always.
What's a few minutes with Doran and giants? He's got it.
Stealth mode.
So, I say stealth mode, but really, really what I mean is Doran stops and listens. And I'd like to maybe roll a perception to find out if I can hear maybe a direction.
God, you absolutely may.
With a natural one. Foe!
No!
Shame.
That's your
Which
second.
Die
shame, 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 shame.
I'm like,
shame,
I think it's, shame, I think shame, it's
shame.
Wind.
Shame it. Shame it.
Shame on you.
I must have farted.
I'm shaming it.
Dice jam.
Goodbye, stupid die.
Bad dice pay the price.
Maybe that was the problem. You named it stupid dice.
My stupid die. Well, okay, on that note then, I don't see anything.
And you have to pee
I'm
a little.
I'm hearing, obviously, rumbling, so I'm thinking it's either the Treant is arriving.
My stomach is really rumbly this morning.
Eh? Oh, bother.
Or there are giants afoot, and so either way, I head back.
All right, you head back to the clearing.
To the clearing, which takes me all
of 20 minutes. And you are nearly paced by this heavy footsteps. You hear them.
So by the time I get back,
we're all prepared.
Yeah.
Like we're all ready for battle. Like we're ready for an ambush. And you just come traipsing in
through
this hole.
Yeah, you bust into the clearing.
I think I hear...
There's something right on my tail.
On my six.
As I step into...
And everyone's like, yeah, I know.
What's the place this called?
These footsteps herald the arrival of a huge creature. An awakened tree.
Oh.
This being is bigger and older than your memory of Liferlis. Its branches are warped and hung with Spanish moss, and its large roots grasp the earth and ungrasp, take long strides, but faltering. It's an old, ancient creature. It has amber-colored eyes that peer suspiciously out at the denizens of this glade. For obviously, there was a fucking party here recently. There's like toilet paper streamers hanging from the trees, sort of situation. Like
fucking satyrs.
A bunch of satyrs, like who fell asleep where they dropped last night, like twitching and snoring in the early morning light. And there's a half elf woman dressed in a light-colored smock, sitting in the branches of this awakened tree, who looks down on all of you.
Emotionally or physically, she looks down.
I feel like as the tree crashes into High Top Cathedral, Doran's prepared for battle.
Cathedral?
Sorry, what did I say?
High Top.
As the tree crashes into Shadow Top Cathedral, Doran's ready for battle, brings his axe up, and then realizes that it's a Treant, and he immediately sheathes his axe.
Yeah.
You had me on my toes. Sorry.
She says to you, I am Thera Shindle of the Emerald Enclave, and this is Turlang, guardian of Shattertop Cathedral. Long has it been since the cathedral has seen a gathering of this kind.
It may never have seen a gathering of quite this kind. There was a wedding between a satyr and a myconid last night.
A what?
A mushroom.
Oh, it's Morella, the mushroom.
Mushroom. He means mushroom, I say to the elfin tree.
Thera grabs the trunk of this Treant and swings down to the ground, landing lightly on bare feet in front of all of you.
Oh, cool.
Cool, yeah.
That was like a superhero landing. My name's Red, and this is Kraloth.
Hello.
That's Jack, and this little guy up here is my favorite bud, Doran.
I'm Doran. Nice to meet you.
We're the Nightstone Four.
Well.
Well met. And what is your allegiance?
Kelimvor.
Good.
To ourselves and the...
And each other. You.
So it's kind of a motley band.
We fight giants, basically.
Mainly, yeah, giants.
Yeah, we fight giants.
That's a good tagline.
She's short for a half-elf. She's got these long braids and locks kind of melding through her hair and wooden jewelry. And she's got these gold tattoos on her throat and her shoulders and kind of all the way up to her chin. She looks up at all of you and she's like, giants? What do you know of giants?
Oh, what do we know about giants, really? We've killed a bunch and we've talked to a bunch and we've destroyed a bunch's houses and... Basically, we've been tasked with reordaining them.
That's the part.
That's exactly what we've been tasked with.
Tasked?
Well, destined to. It gets muddy, and maybe that's part of
so
why we're...
So you're the superheroes, really?
Well, I wouldn't call it super.
Doran, your bum must be blushing.
It is.
This doesn't happen to be Turlang, is it?
This is he, and the creature looks down at you with its great amber eyes.
We've been waiting for you.
Hi, Turlang. We met Liferlis. We love your kind. We respect the woods and the forest, and we respect your advice and need your help.
We helped Liverless defend Golden Fields from some hill giants, and he had suggested that coming up to speak with you might help us on our quest to reorden the giants in a way that was a little nicer for the world.
Basically what I said.
Okay.
This is my forest, and I protect it from outsiders at any cost.
Remember what Green Whistle said? He said he's a bit of an old grump, so we gotta be cool to him.
And you are clearly doing a fantastic job here. I mean, the level of peace. We're all sleeping in a field here, and we're not worried about dire wolves or undead or anything like that. It's really quite a...
Or giants.
And we're being careful not to disturb any of the wildlife. You know, we're being very careful with the grass. And, hey, does anybody have a hard candy? The old people love hard candies.
And I find, like, an amber stone, like you know, and I walk up to his giant mouth.
Yeah, you might like this.
You just, like, put it in his mouth. He doesn't even really, like, chew. You just, like, put it in there. And yeah, it's just in
yeah,
there.
You take that, big guy. Got some white stuff on the side of your mouth. Let me just clean a little bit of that gunk. Oh, you just farted. That's okay.
Thara's like, so this is incredible. I mean, first of all, this wedding. I missed it.
You got to go say congratulations to Green Whistle and Morella. They might just be through there.
You might want to knock first.
They
could be sporing.
I certainly will. I've never heard of such a union, but how blessed. And you're here just to wait for Terlang.
We're also on our way to Everland. We've got another sort of clue to follow up on. Ultimately, we're trying to... let me tell you the whole story.
It seems like a long story. But Everland, you said.
That's next, yeah.
Well, perhaps I'm a druid of the High Forest. I was raised here. So perhaps you would permit me... I mean... I don't love traveling by myself. This is why. And she puts a hand on Terlang's trunk. I have such a venerable traveling companion. But if you need a guide, I would be happy to bring you to the Evermore Way.
Well, we were looking for a fabled giant slayer at Shadowtop Cathedral. Airglass, the moon elf.
Oh, Airglass. Well, I mean, it's been a very long time since I'd seen him. I do know of Airglass. He's also a member of the Emerald Enclave.
Ah, do you guys have like a cool meeting spot that we can maybe meet him at?
She looks around. Well, here, the Emerald Enclave meets at Shadowtop occasionally, and I last saw him in this very grove some 15 years ago.
Well, 15 years? Well, I don't think we should wait that long. I mean, I just...
Yes, we were discussing issues of centaur territories on the Starmounts, if I remember correctly, but that's neither here nor there. I doubt you would be able to find him.
Fair enough. I mean, Liverless sent us here because he thought Airglass, obviously the one who created him and Terlag, could help us. Is there anything that you might know that could help us in our quest to slay giants?
And she puts her hand again on the trunk of the tree beside her. Terlang kind of shudders.
Well, if your goal is indeed to eliminate a giant threat, perhaps I can help.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Oh,
fantastic.
And then he calls out in this crazy holler, this reverberating howl. It's like...
That was a nice little fart. Look, guys, he farted again.
I imagine that to be sort of like a wooden trumpet.
Where is this gas coming from?
Yeah, 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 but from an old man.
Old man tree. Yeah, yeah, it's Orin cleaning one of his instruments.
Camera snaps over and he's like, oh, sorry.
Pardon me.
And then he's like, hey, tree, 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 tree. Yeah, yeah,
and the exactly. Forest, the canopy, for fuck's sake, the canopy of the woods around you shudders and shakes, and from within you hear more footsteps. as an awakened tree, smaller than Turlang, but still tall, maybe 30 feet, and two shrubs kind of waddle out from the undergrowth and stand in the clearing here in this glade. So I asked you guys to send me some names for trees, and here's what you sent me. Tree Eater, Ericor, from someone who actually gave a shit, and Scraggly Bush, I believe is what Alex chose.
I'm going to name this one Tree Eater. The tree, not the shrubs.
It rustles its limbs at you.
He likes it.
This one's kind of scraggly. It's a bush.
Let's call it Ericor.
A-R-A-K-H-O-R, I have written.
Oh, I love it. All right.
There you are.
Well, perhaps if we're naming them, this one could be Ericor. It means tree warden or one who protects the forest in Elvish.
Oh, that's nice.
And then one more is...
And this one could be Blocky Branch. It also means protector of branches because they block the branches.
Sounds good.
Greyloth raises his eyebrow.
Blocky Branch.
So we can have these trees and bushes to help us on our quest?
Blocky Branch.
Turlang looks down at you with its great amber eyes.
You can call them to you once when you need help.
Wow.
And then they must return to the woods.
Essentially, Turlang is loaning you an awakened tree and two awakened shrubs that will come to you in your time of need once.
I would love it if Red just used his on the most like insignificant thing. Like he had to get an apple from a tree.
I'm tired today. I
could use a back scratch. Thanks, guys.
Exactly.
Bye.
Kind of unceremoniously, Turlang just starts walking away.
Oh, bye.
Thank you.
Did he crop dust us? What is that smell?
That's it? You're not gonna like solve our problem?
What's your problem again? There are giants and you need to figure that out?
Yeah.
No, there's no problem. This is what we came here for, Doran. We came here to try to speak with Airglass, or at least speak to Turlag, and we've got these amazing tree out of it.
Yeah. I think that's kind of my point. We don't even know what we're doing. And this is when Doran kind of throws up his arms at this point. He turns back to his companions. He says, we don't even know what we're doing here. What the hell is the reordening? I'm so frustrated.
I wonder if all these good vibes from the wedding are making him feel bad about his murder divorce.
There's a lot of things that are kind of culminating here. The fact that we stuck around for so long to wait for this tree, I thought it was going to give us answers.
Yeah.
We had three magical days here.
What's wrong, Doran? We're still on the right track. I mean, we've found Turlang and we've got some new allies. And what was your name again, miss?
Thera. I am a druid, so I do have some ability. My mother taught me to hunt. So I'm able to wield my weapons.
There we go.
Yeah, but I'm with Doran, and Red walks next to Doran. Yeah, I'm angry too. Team Awesome Boys stick together. What are we angry about again?
Doran doesn't really even acknowledge. He's pissy, Doran is right now. And he kicks a tuft of dirt on the ground. He just kicks it, and he's kind of crosses his arms and sulks a bit.
And Red kicks a rock, but it's too heavy. He's like, gah!
We still don't even know anything about the reordening. We don't know what we're doing. I don't want to just go around continuing to kill giants. This is a waste of our time. We're not getting anywhere. We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And orc splitters on your back and we haven't killed any orcs.
Yeah, we haven't killed any orcs.
Fuck you. Fuck this.
Yeah. I'm with Doran on this one, guys.
Thera is kind of looking between Kraloth and Jack, and she's like, have I done something wrong? Is there...
No.
Should
no.
I...
Of course not. We've had a very long journey, and Doran here has been in the thick of battle right up front in the front line since day one.
She kind of takes a couple of steps back, and she's like, I will go and congratulate the newlyweds, and then we can reconvene in a little while.
Good idea.
She kind of extricates herself from the situation.
I'll wish her well in Elvish.
And maybe Doran sees the elf kind of excuse herself, and then he's like, now he's feeling a little bit embarrassed that he's kind of reacted so childishly to this situation, and he comes back in.
I'm sorry. Look, I don't mean to get frustrated. It's just we still don't really know what even we're doing, and I just, as much as I love battle and I love to, you know, kill, I don't necessarily think that just going around killing giants is the answer that we're looking for.
Yeah, we're sorry, guys. We lost our temper. We're just tired of waiting here.
You have nothing to apologize for, Doran, at all. I can appreciate that sentiment myself. I mean, I'm used to having a direct goal.
Yeah.
And a purpose, a clear, crystal clear purpose. And now I feel like that purpose has been a bit more floaty, but I don't necessarily feel like that's a bad thing. Honestly, I'm starting to appreciate not feeling like I need to be doing something right now, but I can understand you guys might feel different.
I mean, yeah. Doran, get your shit together.
I think we all kind of roll our eyes at Red. Oh.
When I think about the ordning, when I'm thinking about it today, what our goal is, what our task is, it feels like a puzzle. It feels like an excavation. Mm. It feels very comfortable in that context. We don't have all the information. It's behind that next level of dirt. It's maybe a clue we get that we have to take to the next dig to really understand all of this that we're trying to piece together. It's energizing in that way because it's not a complete picture. We've got to make guesses and take stabs in the dark and try and come up with the next most logical conclusion and flail around a little bit. And I can appreciate how that can feel frustrating, Doran. In the same way that searching for the next vein of gold or silver in the mountains, trying to figure out where you're going to find those minerals collected is a challenge. The way Red, those puzzle boxes fooled us for so long, trying to figure out that we had to pull that damn red side up and then twist the key. Mm. Like it's that kind of challenge that we have ahead of us. It's not a obvious one, and that's. That's why we need several different approaches to it, and that's why our perspectives are so set for this task.
Inspiration for your motivational speech.
Hey, very nice.
Very good. Agreed.
Woo. You know, and I suppose you're right. And like Kraloth was saying, I'm very used to having a straight goal that I can lay my eyes and thoughts on and go after. And you said it well, Jack. This is not a single goal. There's some uncovering that we still need to do here.
Well, we've got a destination.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the destination again?
Valharo, the wizard in Everland.
Oh yeah,
I wrote it down in my journal.
Me too.
And at this point, Thera Shindle sort of tentatively makes her way back into the circle where you're all standing.
We're sorry we were so grumpy. Doran and I clearly felt a little bit lost. See, we're really motivated people. We need direction. But also me and Kraloth and Jack were feeling a little bit like we had enough going. So we needed to talk.
Yeah.
That's just fine.
What he said.
Look at that butterfly! Red runs off.
I don't know about any of you, but I'm the kind of person who likes to kind of get where they're going. And it seems like that's sort of what you were talking about. Mm. I have places to be, and you seem ready to travel.
We're ready to travel, but I guess the point that I've learned here is that if it were so simple, just anybody would be able to do this, but it's going to take some mastery on our part, I think.
Mm. Well said, Doran.
Couldn't find that butterfly. Yeah, I agree. All I know is a god told me that I'm going to save the world. And I'm going to do it.
Did you get that butterfly?
No, he ran away. All right, Oren. All right, B. All right, True Steven. Let's roll out.
You guys say your goodbyes.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Goodbye, mushrooms. Goodbye, green whistle.
Oh,
goodbye.
You give them all little kisses.
You.
I feel like there's like, yeah, this scene where the bride and groom are hugged and kissed by each one of us, and there's handshakes and hugs.
Morella is standing underneath this shade that was woven for her so that she can be out in the sunshine for a little while safely. And everyone wishes you farewell. Green Whistle plays you a song, to sort of shepherd you out of the glade, and there's a couple of tears shed.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wrong way, Doran. It's the wrong way.
We're going this way. Sorry.
Nope, the other wrong way.
Oh, this way? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Got it.
Your journey through the high forest away from Shadowtop Cathedral and away from the beauty and community you experienced feels a little bit solemn. And as you descend off of the slopes of this mountain down into the high forest and then out north, the season again degrades into late autumn and early winter, away from the heat of these hot springs erupting out of the cavernous underdark. You are now less afforded the shelter of this magical warm embrace. And again, the trees become naked and the banks of the meadow glades become just covered in frost and ice and snow. And it's cold again. And it's fucking awful.
Welcome back to the rot.
Uktor! Farah herself, she's a very knowledgeable guide and a polite companion. She's especially interested in trading her information about the high forest with anyone who has more information about, you know, different kinds of environments. As a druid of the Emerald Enclave, she cares a fuck ton about the natural world. So she wants to know all about, you know, Red, where you came from,
And I'm telling her all the Maztekin stuff. Jack is constantly trying to like draw back to listen in, and then I just kind of stop talking. And then he continues up ahead and I continue.
there's part of Jack that's like, I haven't hung out with another elf in a long time. And, you know, my mom's an elf from Silvery Moon. And I just, you know, having a little elf in my life after being in, you know, Shadowtop Cathedral, that could feel really, really like nostalgic and grounding in a way.
Of course. She's telling you about her upbringing. Like, her mother was an elf. And you get the impression, Jack, that Thera is very interested in sharing her experience with you as well. Mm-hmm. As a fellow half-elf, you know, her mother was also of elven descent, and she was raised here in the high forest. And as you guys get to know each other a little better, she tells you about how her mother was sort of evicted from the tribe here. Because they were xenophobic. Her and her mother were cast out at an early age, and then she was raised by her mother in the high forest by herself. And Thera tells you that after the death of her mother, she had to seek out company of others, and thus she joined the Emerald Enclave as kind of a way to rejoin some kind of community.
Oh, Thera, that sounds so hard. Thank you for sharing that. There's definitely that part of elven culture for sure that wants to hang on to the old ways and fight new things, and it puts us in a really weird spot.
How did you experience a childhood, Jack? Was your mother similarly expelled from her culture because of your existence, or was your father and her relationship whole?
It's really, I mean, it so much of my parents are so distant from the real world. They're more than being human and elf and anything else. They're wizards. They're folks who fell in love on another plane of reality and decided to spend some time together before they got more interested in something else. They're both, you know, I was raised more by my sister than my dad, and she was already like, you know, way timeline gets weird. I guess it's that elf time thing too, where you know they're 200 years old and you're a baby and they have no time for you, you know. But I did get to spend some lovely time when I wasn't learning to be a wizard in Silvery Moon with mom. And
like a comfortable silence just kind of settles between the two of you, and Thera reaches down and pulls at a sprig of wintergreen that's poking out from between some clump of snow, and she crushes it in her hands, and you smell this tang of peppermint reach your nostrils. And she's like, maybe we suffer from different problems, you and I, where I was grounded too much in reality and you among the stars.
Yeah.
Around the campfire that night, she tells you of the sometimes dangers of the high forest that she's had to come to know and how to run away from or combat herself in her many years here. The fiercely territorial wood elves and tree ghost tribe Uthgard barbarians, about the ancient magical wards of the forest, and also about the creatures of boundless power and benevolence that live here, like the unicorns. She tells you about the god that she worships, Miliki, and about her great respect for unicorns. And she tells you all about the two instances in her lifetime that she met a unicorn. Memories that serve as nourishment for her soul.
Wow.
Wow. So you've met a unicorn? A real live unicorn?
Two of them.
Unicorns aren't real, you dummy.
They are very much real, Red.
Trying to pull another owlbear on us, eh, Kraloff?
And then I turn and look at Kieran.
Just shakes his little feline head.
I'll tell you, you're interested in natural surroundings. And where are you from again? Emerald?
Doran, I'm from here.
But you, something Emerald is in your name.
Emerald Enclave, that's the group, the faction that I've joined up with.
That's
people
right.
People who care most about the preservation of the natural world and defend it against all comers.
But let me ask you, have you ever seen an emerald in its natural state, deep in the caverns of the mountains?
Her eyes kind of sparkle in the firelight across from you as you tell her. No, I haven't.
I didn't think so, and I thought that you might find this story very interesting. For when I was young, I recall of going with my uncles down into the depths of the caverns, and we would dig and look for this very, very dull and faint glimmer of a dark green. And only then would we know that it was an emerald, because it isn't as lustful when it's buried. But let me tell you, this one time we were digging for emeralds, and this great dragon from beneath came up, and when it spewed fire, wow, did I ever see the way those emeralds glowed in the deep darkness and the fiery breath. Wow, it was just something else. That image will remain with me forever.
Inspiration, Doran!
Nice.
It is as the fire is dying and you are preparing for bed that you hear an eerie sound. A distant baying on the wind. It seems to come from everywhere at once and drives a chill into your bones.
What the hell is that sound?
You hear blood rush in your ears. Your heartbeat quickens. Mist rolls in between the tree trunks all around you, oozing into the spaces between you, separating you all into a chill gray void. Five mounted figures emerge from the mist, astride black horses whose eyes roll and chests are plastered with bloody foam. Their tattered armor hangs loosely from their mangled frames, poorly concealing the corpses underneath. Flesh flayed and rotten, undead light burning from within, broken bones and bared teeth. One of them raises its longsword and points it straight at you, Jack. And from a jawbone half hanging from its face, its tongue loose and drooling putrid fluid, it says,
"Flee!"
Oh boy, these guys kind of seem familiar. Thank you so much to our amazing Patreon supporters, Christopher Ryan Evans, Mitchell Cadwell, Colin Burkhart, Daniel, also known as Order Tempo, Doug Churchman, Katie Orrit, and Merlin. See you soon!
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more.
One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.